I know that we are all hurting right now, and I want to be here with you guys. I want to share what I know, and I also I want to give permission in many ways, I guess, to feel what it is that we are feeling right now. We're all hurting, and it's just a very painful time for us. So I guess I want to start off with a story. And that when I was young, my mom told me not to become a psychologist. She told me I was too sensitive and I would probably die of heartbreak if I sat with people who were hurting or if I felt people's pain, because I felt everything when I was little. And she knew that. 'Cause I told her I wanted to be a psychiatrist, and, you know, at that point, psychologist, psychiatrist probably all meant the same thing. And her father was a psychiatrist, and so she knew what that meant. And she said, there's no way you're going to be able to handle that, so don't do it. And I sort of registered that inside of me. And then as I became a teenager, I realized, okay, this stuff really hurts. Heartbreak really hurts. And that's, you know, when I would see any pain, anyone in pain. I used to volunteer in an elderly home next to our home. And there I would just, my heart would break for the elderly. It would break for anything and everyone. And at some point I was like, all right, that's enough. I'm not going to do this anymore. And I don't want to hurt anymore. And I really overcompensated for the heart by going into the mind. And I developed my mind, and I think I could never stop feeling, but I just shut it down as much as I could. And then I came into my 20s and I realized I felt a little bit suffocated with that. I felt that I felt like it was like a glass cage that my heart was in. It was still looking and feeling, but it just wasn't feeling the way it was meant to be feeling and the way it had been feeling. And so I took my heart out of this glass cage and I started feeling. And I'm going to tell you what happened towards the end of this talk when I talk about heartbreak and how to cope with heartbreak, how to make sense of heartbreak. But I just wanted to start off with that it hurts. Feeling hurts. Caring hurts. And there was somebody yesterday that I met that said, well, but it's not happening to me. I don't understand why it hurts so much. Oh, but my dear, it is happening to you. It is happening to all of us. And if it hurts you, then it matters. And I want you to validate that. I don't want you to dismiss it. I don't want you to deny it. I don't want you to say, well, I feel guilty for even hurting as much as I'm hurting. So I'll start with that. Now, I do want to say that there's going to be people that are going to have all kinds of reactions to what I'm saying. Give yourself permission to have all of those reactions. You will also go through many different feelings in one day. So it's not like you're just numb. You could go from numb to angry to hypervigilant to scrolling to angry to rage to powerlessness to despair to, you know, so you're going to go up and down through all of these different feelings. And I want you to give yourself permission to feel all of that and make room for all of that. So I want to just normalize that if you are feeling tired, overly tired, if there's changes in your sleep pattern. So I know people that are sleeping a lot more. But when it's time to actually sleep, they can't get into that deep sleep. So they're just like napping more. They're exhausted. They're fatigued. They're overwhelmed. They have physical tension. They have tension in their chest, in their shoulders, in their jaws, in their belly. They feel tight and tense. There's a lot of feelings of sadness and irritability. I know mothers who have gotten really upset with their children because their children are bickering about really futile things, and the mother is saying, do you know what is happening in this world right now? Do you know the devastation that is out there? So mothers and fathers have less patience for their children, a lot more irritability, feeling overwhelmed, feeling hopeless. Again, we are here. Again, we are feeling this. Again, I am overwhelmed. Again, I have to witness this. A lot of confusion. So like inability to make very simple decisions about like what you're going to eat and how you're going to do the work that you have to do. So just this kind of cognitive impairment, just feeling really confused. You might even withdraw from social interactions. So places might feel too noisy, or people might feel too noisy or too overwhelming. Whether it's on social media or whether it's in person, you might find yourself muting, unfollowing, withdrawing, isolating because you are cocooning, because it's too much for you right now. You might feel flooded. And there might be this kind of need to look on social media. It's also called doom scrolling. It's called, this hypervigilance. And it's precisely because you are in fight or flight mode. And when we are in fight or flight mode, we actually move into this kind of like everything is a threat mode. So there's probably nothing anyone can say to make it better because you are so hypervigilant right now. Any small thing could throw you off into a reactive state. People might say something comforting with the intention to comfort you, but they say one wrong word and you spiral into a full-on rage. And this vigilance can make you want to get up in the middle of the night, check what's happening on your phone, check what's happening on your phone again and again and again and again, because it gives us a sense of control at a time when we feel really powerless, that it's just automatic, by the way. It's not something consciously you're doing. You're doing this unconsciously. You could be saying, well, if I know more, then I'll be more prepared. This is you unconsciously thinking that if I knew more about this, then I would be more prepared for whatever it is that's happening. That's because you are in fight or flight. So it's a very normal reaction when you are feeling overwhelmed, when you are feeling flooded, when you are in that sympathetic state and you're moving from sympathetic to dorsal vagal, where you go numb, dissociated, depersonalized, derealizing, all of that, where you just feel like life is happening outside of you, and then you drop into fight or flight. Then you move into dorsal vagal. This, you're basically moving back and forth from shutting down to turning on, to shutting down to turning on. And that's just very hectic for your nervous system. And this is why I think that when you are hurting and when you are triggered and when you are suffering, you are going to think that you need to be looking at those images and that those images and videos on social media because you want to show your support. But that actually is going to desensitize you. It's going to make you numb. It's going to make you flooded, and it's going to make you paralyzed, because that's what overwhelm does to our nervous system. So it would be very important that you be very attuned to your nervous system and you pay attention to what is it that you can tolerate. Now, there are some people who can tolerate that because they just can tolerate more than you. If you are highly sensitive, if you are just overwhelmed, if you just have a lot on your plate right now, you probably want to manage that, okay? And you really want to rein that in, even though every part of you is going to want to go online to get some sense of control. I promise you, it's going to make you feel even more out of control. There's not a single person on the planet that can say, I felt more in control by looking at what was happening. We already know what is happening. We already know it is catastrophic. We already know that is absolute devastation. We already know that. You don't need an image to confirm that. And so you need to do what you can do. And you need to stay in a mobilized state. You need to stay in a safe state to be able to help those people that are hurting and all those around you that are hurting. We have an obligation to our children, to our community, to do our part with all the people that are around us, to all the people that are hurting in the world. We have to do that. So give yourself permission to say, I know the news, I've seen the headline, this is what's happening, now put it away. You can do that every day if you want. But all day long, every day, where your aperture literally is getting narrower and narrower because you're on the screen all day long and watching these things all day long. That's when we are in fight or flight, our aperture narrows like this. We're not looking around, we lose perspective. This is because this is our survival state and we go into hypervigilance. How do I stay alive? That's what our body is thinking and feeling at that point, okay? So when you're on that phone and when you are in that fight or flight state, it really does narrow and everything tightens and constricts. So your body is like this, your aperture is like this, your view is like this. And what we want to do is we want to create that safety. And one of the ways you're going to do that is by turning off your phone. Okay? And so don't do that. I'm not saying don't look and don't see and don't support. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying limit that. So you can stay in a way that is helpful for everyone around you. So I want to move right into what is it that you can do. So the first thing is going to be eliminate all unnecessary tasks. Okay? This means social events. This means work. This means anything that has to do with something extra that you're doing, eliminate. Right now, you want to huddle. You want to create safety. Right now, you want to quieten down. You want to create this kind of quiet, low stimulating environment for your nervous system. Because internally, there is chaos inside of you. Your mind, your body, your heart, your soul, everything feels like it's in chaos. And you don't want any more chaos. Going to the mall on the weekend, not a good idea. Going to the beach in a quiet part of the beach, better idea. So if you can do that, go to the park, go to the beach, go to places that can ground you. You can still be around people, but be around people that are comforting rather than people that are overly loud or overly stimulating or overly hectic. You want to limit that. Now, I'm not saying you need to cut off from those people. I'm just saying you want to limit that. Okay? No one is going to give you permission to take this time for yourself. No one is going to come and say, okay, Saleha, I know you're really hurting right now. So you need to take this time for yourself. No one's going to do that. You have to do that. This is big. This is huge. This is absolutely painful. You are hurting. This is breaking. This is breaking your heart. And so you do want to give yourself permission to just take some time to go a little bit slower, to do things a little bit differently. This is not news. These are people and these are lives, and you care and you hurt. So give yourself permission to go a little bit slower, to be a little bit gentler with yourself. I'm at work. I have children. I get it. Life cannot stop. We have to keep doing what we are doing. But we can do less of whatever it is that we're doing. Okay, I would say if the big feeling inside of you right now is grief, sorrow, despair, hopelessness, then you want to rest. If that is the primary feeling, because there are people whose primary feeling right now is rage and anger. And I'll address that in a minute. But if your primary feeling is grief and sorrow and despair and hopelessness, then you want to be really gentle with yourself. Helplessness, yes, powerlessness. It's like carrying around a big boulder inside of you, and it's going to make you very tired. You're going to feel very tired. So what you want to do is you want to take it easy. You want to go gentle with your creating that safety for your body, okay? Even gentle rocking while you are doing touch. You can rub your shoulders. You can rub the upper parts of your thighs. These are great ways to create safety within the body. I've done one for how to befriend your nervous system or how to heal your nervous system. I've done an IG live, and there are three ways you can create that safety for yourself right now. The first way is going to be in the body, embodied ways. Then it's going to be contextual, and then it's going to be relational. So embodied ways are all going to be this gentle rocking, rubbing, even gentle pounding on your body like this to release, and even in your belly, because we hold a lot there. So this is really good for your vagal tone. You can do that. Long stretches, slow rhythmic breathing. This kind of release that you do, breathe in through the nose and out through your mouth. Gentle walks on the beach with cathartic music. I was on the beach this morning and I cried and I cried and I cried my eyes out, and I just like gave it all to her. I gave it all to her and I said, I'm not going to hold this because I've got to make space for everyone around me. So I gave it all. Crying really helps. Sobbing, this kind of uncontrolled crying, it really is very cathartic for your body. It's very healing for you. So don't hold back. If you want to sob, sob. If you have children, maybe don't do it around them. Let them see you cry. Let them see you hurt, but it might be too much for them. So go cry in the bathroom, but let them see the tears in your eyes. Let them know that you hurt. Let them know that it is our responsibility to care for people in this world that are hurting. So let them see that. So those are going to be if grief is your primary emotion, okay? Gentle, slow, soft, nothing too intense. If anger and rage is your primary feeling, you've got to find a way to discharge that energy. You know, when we have electricity, raw electricity, it has to go through like a transformer in order for it to be used. When we turn the light switch on, if we just have sheer raw electricity, it'll just burn the fuse. It will flip, you know, the switch. It will cause chaos. So it's the same thing. When we have rage and anger, all very normal when we see what we are seeing, all very normal feelings. What you want to do is you want to discharge that. You want to transform that. Now, that is going to require a little bit more of an intense feeling. Now, this is where getting on that treadmill and I, you know, full on sprint. I've done that and I've cried while I was running. So it's almost like you're releasing it from your heart. The heart is beating really, really, really fast at that point, and you're just literally letting all of that out. You're keeping your heart open this way. You can shake. So I even shake even when I'm in that grief state, but it's a little bit gentler in the shaking. I'm not like full on shaking, but you can gently, or you can vigorously shake or gently shake. That's going to be very good to discharge that energy. You can also do forceful breathing. So this kind of breathing, like really getting it out of you, and then pounding. That also is going to be a good way to discharge. Remember, you are going to want to do that in the belly also, okay? You keep doing that and keep tapping all over your body. It's inside of you. That electricity, that high voltage is inside of you. Now, if you're vacillating between anger and grief, then you are moving. Your nervous system is really activated. So you're going from sympathetic to dorsal, sympathetic to dorsal. You're really going to want to do all the different things to create safety for your body. You're going to want to do the embodied stuff. You're going to want to create that environment that is safe. Even having things like flowers in your environment, aromatherapy, turn down the lights, create a cocoon, weighted blankets, barefoot on the earth. These are things you can do. Looking at nature, even looking at pictures of nature can be very soothing. Going to nature is going to be very soothing. Guys, can I please ask you to like not get political in the chat, please. This is a safe space. I want people to come here and not be distracted by highlights of the news. If they can get that news somewhere else, we are trying to have a space here where people can feel safe. Okay, so just love and prayers and care and safety here. If you want to share the news, go do it on your own channel, but this is not about that right now. There's a place and a time for everything. This ain't the place and this ain't the time. So I really ask you to respect the people that are here who want to just do things for themselves right now so they can be of service. Yes, Tam, you need to leave, please. I don't want any news. Please, right now, okay? You can do support, you can do care, you can do love, you can do giving, but you can't do anything if you're flooded. So we're going to stay with here. We're going to stay with care right now, and that's going to be self-care, and that's going to be self. So you have to be able to do that in order to care for other people. You're no good for anyone when you are spewing out hate. It's just not good for anyone. So, and I, if you want to do that, I would really love you to go just do that somewhere else. Okay? Thank you for respecting this place. All right. So someone asked me, how do I stop my heart from breaking? And I have a very different take on this. I started this live with that story about when my mom told me, don't be a psychologist because you'll feel people's pain. And it's a question I get asked often. Don't you hurt when you hurt, when you see people's pain? And I say, yeah, I do. And doesn't it break you? Yeah, it does. It really breaks me. And doesn't that affect how you show up in life? Yeah, it really does. But not in a bad way. It actually has made me more real and more human than I've ever been, really. So for the person asking, how do I stop my heart from breaking? My answer, which might be different from someone else's, but my answer is that you don't. You don't let your heart stop breaking. And I'll go back to the story that I was telling you guys earlier, that when I was in my 20s, when I decided to remove the glass case and really just let my heart feel, I loved, and it felt better to feel those feelings, right? And I loved, and I felt again, and I felt expansive. I felt hurt for the clients that I had. I felt for the people around the world. I felt for the poor. I felt for the widows. I felt for the needy. I felt everything. And it was, whoa, like overwhelming feelings. And then my heart broke. And it broke again. And then I would love again. And then it would break again. And then I would love again. And then I got betrayed. And then I would love again. And I got othered. I got played. I got called naive. I got called all of these things. And I broke again and again. But throughout that, I think one thing that was my saving grace, one was my relationship to the higher power, and two were the people in my life. They reminded me that I was not crazy. They reminded me that my love was good, even when I felt so hurt because someone I loved hurt me. The first thing to do is judge your own love, right? To say, well, maybe my love wasn't good enough. Maybe my prayer wasn't strong enough. Maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe that's why God's not hearing me. Maybe that person wouldn't have left if my love was good and my heart was good. And so these are all the questions you have when your heart breaks or when love hurts or when caring hurts too much. And that's very normal. But I think even having a few people in your life that say, no, no, you are good and your love is good. And I feel your love and it's powerful. And that, I think, is really important. And that was like a balm for that broken heart. And sometimes it would take me a few weeks, and sometimes it would take me a few months, sometimes longer, half a year, to have my heart feel like it was working in the same way again. But I was just committed to not shutting down. I couldn't let that person or that news take away my ability to feel. And I think instinctually, we want to stop the pain. Instinctually, we want to stop hurting. And I am saying, if you're hurting, then let it hurt. And let it break. Because I realize that it never breaks down. It just breaks open. And I think we're all afraid that if I just let it break so much, maybe I'll die. Maybe I'll die. And more recently, I went to the edge of heartbreak. More recently, I died. I said, you know what? I'm going to just see how far I can take this. And I'm going to let my heart break. And if I die, I will have died with an open heart, and it will have been worth it for me. So I traveled to the edge of my pain, and to the edge of heartbreak, and to the edge of sorrow, and to the edge of where all those difficult feelings took me. And I continued to soften, and I continued to stay open, because your instinct is going to be, no, this is too scary. And you're going to try to close up. And that's when you soften. And you, the breath will say, okay, no, I've got this. And it's almost like the hero that is going into the abyss. It's never going to feel safe. No matter how safe you feel, it's never going to feel safe. You have to create that safety. So soften, breathe, and move forward. Soften, breathe, and feel more. Soften, breathe, and feel more. And I think I died. And I really felt like I died. And then I came back to life. And I realized that, oh, wait, but I didn't die. And that you don't die. As long as you have breath in you, you don't die. The heartbreak is very, very painful. It is very, very difficult, but it is what makes us human. It is what makes us able to care. Guys, please, I ask you to stop with all of the triggering things in the chat. I implore you to please stop. This is a place where we are talking about how do you create safety. Okay, so we don't need to go on every chat or every live with our agenda. I have an agenda, I swear to you I do, but this is not the place. And I really ask you to respect that. So the person who asked that question, I'm gonna hold on 1 second. If there's a way to just stop this chat, I would, guys. I'm sorry. I don't know what to say. I really don't know what to say. This is what happens when people are hurting. They have literally no consideration for anyone else. They don't realize that what they're saying is triggering to the other person. All they see is their own pain. All they see is that they are hurting. And they think by talking about it more, or they think by saying more things like that, that it's helping the situation. And it is not. You have to find a platform to be able to speak about this in a way that is responsible. This is not responsible. There are people hurting, and by you saying things in an irresponsible way, you are causing more hurt. That's it. So do this responsibly. Advocate responsibly. Share your care responsibly. Because there are people who are hurting right now. So anyways, to the person who asked, what do I do with my heartbreak, or how do I stop my heart from breaking? Well, once I let it break and break and break, I come to you from the other side. I come to you with news that every time it breaks, it gets bigger and you become vaster and you expand. So the heart is not like shattering, even though it feels like that. It's breaking open. And the more you break open, the bigger you get. The bigger you get, the bigger the heart gets, the more it can hold. As long as you can soften into it and not let it harden you, as long as you can soften into that and not let it create hate in your heart or revenge in your heart, as long as you can do that, by showing it love, by showing up for yourself, by showing up for the people in your life, by showing up for the people that are hurting. As long as you can do that, your heart gets bigger and bigger, and you get bigger and bigger. And what you can tolerate gets more and more. Someone says, I don't feel vaster. I feel bitter and I want to close. And that's very normal. It's very, very, very normal to feel that. And I would say, do the things I said earlier. Soften, love, show yourself love, show yourself care. Imagine that you're a little child who is hurting. What would you do? You would hug that child. You would say, you are good and we're going to make it through this. We are going to pray. We are going to give. We are going to do all that we can do. Because that's all we can do, is do all we can. That's it. We cannot do more than that. And we need to use our power to do all that we can. So, from someone who is highly sensitive, from someone who has shut down, someone who shuts down. Yesterday, I took like 3 naps in between all the things I had to do for World Mental Health Day. And it was like, I was exhausted. And which is why I needed to go to the beach this morning and say, okay, I need to wash this off of me. I need to, there's no way I can wash this off of me, but I need to lighten some of this. So one thing that I will say is that when you are, if you are making this choice to stay open and to stay in a position of love and softness, you're gonna have to be super disciplined, because you cannot expose yourself to trauma without consideration. Okay, yes, I have seen the things that are happening. I have seen the news, I have seen it, and I have gone in with my armor on to say, okay, I need to see what's going on. And then I have stepped out. So you're going to have to really think about how you're going to stay open, stay vulnerable. It takes courage. It takes bravery. It takes commitment to stay in that position. It is far easier to hate. Trust me. It is far easier for me to hate. But to stay in this position, it takes deliberate thought, intention, consideration, paying attention to your nervous system and saying, how do I take care of this right now? How do I take care of this right now? What's feeling overwhelming for me right now? So because I choose to live vulnerably and because I choose to love and live with an open heart, I have to be super tuned in to what's going on inside of my body. And so if you are going to make this choice to let your heart break open, and by the way, this is not a choice for everyone. You might need to armor up right now because it's too much, and that's okay too. Give yourself permission. If you need to stay armored up, I would still encourage you to limit exposure if you are armored up, because it's too much for you right now. And that's okay. We will come to the healing later. We are all feeling like we're in the battlefield right now. And some of us are really, really injured and wounded. And some of us don't know how to take care of those wounds and those injuries. So armor up, take a time out, step out. Do what you need to do to recover. And then there are those who are knowing what to do and they're taking care of themselves and they're doing it often and they're having practices in place. And if you choose to stay open, at that point, you do need to be very deliberate and considerate about what you are going to show up for, what you're not going to show up for, what you're going to say, what you're not going to say, who you're going to respond to, who you're not going to respond to, because your energy matters. Okay? Your energy matters. And how you show up for the people in your life matters. So I have one exercise for you guys. One exercise that I want you guys to do when you are feeling overwhelming feelings. I want you to close your eyes and I want you to feel the feeling. It's pain, it's sorrow, maybe it's your heart breaking. despair, hopelessness, powerlessness, all of those feelings. Feel them. Where is it in your body? Is it here? Is it here? Is it in your gut? Is it in your womb area? Where is that? Feel it. Now see it. See the feeling. And then I want you to take a deep breath. And I want you to expand the area around that feeling. So take a deep breath and expand the area around that feeling. And do it again. Take a deep breath and expand the area around that feeling. So the feeling stays the same, but the area around it, it's getting bigger. Now you are making space for that feeling. And now another feeling might show up. Make space for that feeling. You don't have to like it. You don't want it. It hurts. But you, if you are feeling it, then you are capable of holding it. And all you have to do is keep breathing and making space. Keep breathing and making space. No one wants the pain, guys. No one wants to feel this way. No one wants to see these things. We want peace. We want freedom. We want human rights. We want these things. I'm telling you what to do inside of you right now, okay? To make space for your pain, to not run away from that, to allow it, to breathe it, to discharge it, to transform it, to have it mobilize you into doing something about the things that are hurting you. You are bigger than the pain you are experiencing. You are much bigger than the pain you are experiencing. So make the space bigger around the pain. You are vast. You are expansive. And if you can feel it, you can bear it, even though it feels unbearable. But I promise you, if you make the space for it, if you don't fight it, you don't resist it, you accept that it is there, and that is what makes you human, and that is what makes you magnificent, then you can bear it. Don't stop hurting, because then you'll stop caring. And we can't stop caring. We all have to care. So if you're hurting, keep hurting. And make space for the hurting and don't fight the hurting. And if you're not hurting because you're frozen, it's okay. Trust your psyche. Trust your nervous system. It's only going to give you what you can handle. And right now you can't handle it, and that's okay. Make space for that. Don't feel guilty for not feeling. Trust the system. Trust the nervous system. It will give it to you when you're ready. Okay? And for all of those people who are feeling guilty, who are in places where they have running water, they have warm beds, they have safety, their children can go to school, they have food, they have medicine. For all those people who feel guilty, that is also very normal. That is what makes us human. It feels wrong that there are people in this world that don't have these basic human rights, and we do. It feels wrong that this is happening. And I want you to feel the guilt, make room for the guilt, expand the space around the guilt, and then I want you to be grateful. Express heartbreaking gratitude, because you have space to feel both feelings. You can make room for both of those feelings. And grief without gratitude is unbearable. When you feel the guilt and you feel the grief and then you feel the gratitude, you feel everything inside of you. And then you hold two very conflicting feelings inside of you. And you have the capacity, the ability to be able to hold both. So feel the guilt and feel the gratitude and feel the grief. That's all I have for you guys today. Let's see the questions. I'm a little bit nervous about these questions, but let's see. Someone asked, how am I? Yeah, I'm not good. Honest. I'm hurting. This is extremely painful. And I'm trying my best to show up for the people in my life and to show up for you guys and to show up for my kids and my community and my lighthouse and my clients. But these are really difficult realities. And yeah, so I think I shared with you all of that. So I'll end with this, that make space for all of it. And if you care, care. And if you hurt, hurt. And if you feel guilty, feel guilty. And if you'll feel grateful, feel grateful. Feel all of it. And make room for all of it. And as you are making room for all of it, make sure you take care of yourself, because that's intense. It's intense to care. And it's intense to live vulnerably. So make space and be responsible with yourself. Care for yourself. Soothe yourself. Be gentle with yourself. Be gentle with the people around you. And one other thing, one last thing. This is something that I'm deliberately doing in the last few days. I'm really going out of my way to do something kind in my community. I'm doing something kind for someone. I'm listening a little bit longer. I'm giving someone food or water that wouldn't expect it. I'm going out of my way to do something kind for a stranger, not for someone in my life, but for a stranger. And that is my way of restoring humanity. That yes, there's still good in this world. In a world that doesn't feel very good right now, in a world where I can't believe some of this stuff is happening, there's still a little bit of good that I just experienced. And so for me, in order to restore that faith in humanity, I'm just doing these small acts for people that I don't know. And hoping that that's my way of contributing to this human race and to love and yeah, and to restoring faith. So, take care of yourself, guys, and be gentle with yourself. Okay, bye.